Well, hey, my friends, welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope you guys are staying strong and healthy and dry. It is monsooning down here in Florida. It has been for the last couple of days, and it's going to keep raining for the next couple of days.
Well, we were really dry, though.
We were. Now we're not dry anymore. I mean, I don't think you can hear it. Can they hear it?
They probably can't hear it. No, they can't hear it. Nah, it's a metal roof. If it was really raining hard, you might hear it. We got a lot of insulation in here, though.
A lot of rain. A lot of water.
A lot of insulation.
A lot more gators.
Oh, another person got eaten.
I saw that. Yeah. I was going to cover it on the show, but I was like, I think everybody gets sick of hearing about it after a while.
Yeah, they hit one with a canoe and flipped the canoe.
Well, they were in a kayak in like 2.5 feet of water. It was almost 12-foot gator. They ran over him.
How deep was it?
2.5 feet of water.
Oh, my gosh.
The gator was sitting there.
Well, the gator was taller than the water,
yeah,
pretty much.
Yeah, I'm not really sure why they just moseyed on over on top of him. It was horrible, though. I don't want to get into it on a Monday. A lot of stuff going on. This is an interesting story that came out now. You guys saw this. The U.S. and China has now agreed to slash tariffs for 90 days.
What a roller coaster. What happened to all the people that paid all these tariffs?
That's a valid question. You know, I've talked to multiple companies, especially electronic companies, and, you know, some of them got hit with some huge tariffs.
Well, I mean, think about it for a second. If a product costs $1,000, some electronic product,
right,
and now all of a sudden you got $1,000, you know,
$2,200.
Now, it's more than that. You're 150%. You're going to be $1,050. You're going to have, now you've almost doubled the price. You know, and so now this product costs over $2,000. Now you've got it all in inventory. Now they cut the tariffs back out. You've already paid the tariffs. How do you get rid of the product?
I don't know.
You can't cut the price because you're below cost now.
Yeah, this is
very unstable.
This is extremely unstable. They've been playing with these tariffs like they're doing some, you know, local
dominoes.
Yeah, so some local economy. Oh, we're trading some beans and rice. You know, we're going to raise the price up. I'm like, no, these are global economics, bro.
Oh, by the way, just a funny couple of stories real quick. Macron, the president of France, who wants to rule France, you know, with an iron scepter like a Greek god, who's married to a dude supposedly who's 26 years older than him, apparently now has been caught and busted with cocaine. I guess what happens when you're married to a tranny.
Gotta try to do something.
You gotta get yourself up. No, I'm just joking. You shouldn't do cocaine. Bro. But I mean, it's awful. I mean, I've never done cocaine, but you know, it's supposed to be like an upper, I guess. But the reality is that, you know, it's funny to me that here he is snorting cocaine, supposedly. So there's this Drudge report now, front page. Supposedly, I'm saying supposedly.
Married to a dude, allegedly.
Yeah, and this dude that he's married to, this is one ugly thing, man. It's just one, this thing, whatever it is ugly.
I'm not gonna put the photo
up. He's like 50, and she's like, you know, 73, and I'm not picking on 73-year-olds. There are a lot of really beautiful 73-year-olds, but this is not one, and plus this is a dude. So I thought this is kind of crazy. I saw that. And then just to add a little bit of light to this whole crazy charade with dating, Bill Belichick's girlfriend, who's like, you know, 50 years younger than him, has just placed third in the Miss Maine contest beauty pageant.
Didn't she get banned from the stadium?
Yeah, apparently they don't want her in the locker room area down there. You know, so Bill Belichick may have led the New England Patriots to 6 Super Bowl victories, but he couldn't lead his girlfriend, 24-year-old Jordan Hudson, to first place at the Miss Maine of the USA beauty pageant.
Oh, that's horrible.
That's what they say.
That's horrible.
But no, but I get a kick out of this because it's just so funny to me. What a dichotomy here. I mean, you got the one guy married to a dude, supposedly, who's 26 years older than him, and you got this guy married to this Miss Maine beauty pageant star now. And I just find it kind of funny when you see this kind of stuff. And last night I sent out a text, and I'm going to cover this too because this is a big deal. I was looking last night, and I was trying to figure out, you know, some scripture to cover today with you guys. And I saw something that really, it kind of hit me kind of hard. And I had a friend of mine bring it up to me last night, another doctor friend that I have. And it basically says that, you know, as a person, you know, if a person hangs out with the wrong people, they're going to have all kinds of problems. And then it also says that a person in many cases, you know, who basically is a family member, that a friend is closer than a brother. And I thought to myself, you know, this is a really good text. And I sent it out to several of my friends and listeners of the show who are basically is really good friends of mine. And it's Proverbs 18:24. And I just wanted to share this with you real quick, kind of like a little preachy segment here for the minute. One who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin.
Yeah.
No, I'm going to share this with you. I'm listen to me for a second. I'm going to go into like a 30-second, well, maybe two-minute preaching segment here.
Got a lot of health articles today.
I'm going to cover this.
All right.
And what's interesting is this. I had a friend of mine years ago. His wife ended up running a Ponzi scheme. Now, we had known them for about 10 years. And they got me involved in it, thinking that I thought they were legitimate because he was legitimate. She was running the Ponzi scheme. In fact, she's made the Daily Mail now, the international paper out of England, for running a scam on people trying to replace their houses in California after the fire a few years ago. And she basically took a bunch of money and never built the house. Okay. And, you know, and it was interesting. So one who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin. Be very careful with your friends, because a friend person basically is someone that you trust and you want to be helpful with. And they come to you and they want to borrow money. And you think, OK, this is a good deal. With me, she came to me and had invoices for certain orders that she had and needed some funding. And I thought she was legit, and she was not. And apparently she'd gone to over 100 other friends with these same invoices and ended up stealing millions of dollars from her friends. Okay, so to be real careful, if you ever have somebody come to you and they want you to borrow money, want to borrow money from you, you make sure you verify everything they tell you and make sure it's legit. And then ask them the simple question, why are you not going to the bank?
There you go.
This is important. Austin the other day had somebody contact him. He's known for years, the father of somebody, and they wanted him to loan them money. And I told Austin, I said, stay away from this. Something's wrong. Why are they not going to the bank?
I asked the question. I said, well, you know, they make these institutions, crazy institutions that people have heard about for thousands of years. They're called banks, and they loan money. That's their job. They loan cash.
Yeah. Why are you coming to me?
Well, you know, my Beacon score is kind of low right now. I'm having some credit issues.
Why is your Beacon score low?
Okay. And then, all right, here we go.
And then it's something that said, I'm going to read this verse to you again. One who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin, but there is a friend... Okay, that's you guys to me, many of you, who stick closer than a brother. Now, what does that mean? You know, we had so many people come to Sharon's funeral from all over the country. A lot of people drove in. I mean, hundreds and hundreds who listened to the show. And, you know, you stuck closer to me than my own family members did for this. And many of you don't realize, but I see you as my family. That's why I pray for you guys all of the time. And I know that a lot of you feel the same way about us because, you know, you allow us, you give us, you're so gracious to us that you allow us to come into your home every day and have these little conversations with you, these little sometimes fireside chats, like we're all sitting around the fireplace just chit-chatting, which is kind of what we're doing right now. But there's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. You know, we can choose, you know, our friends, but our relatives, we're related to them because of blood. But our friends and our real brothers, they're related to us because of loyalty, period. And so always remember that. Loyalty is more important to me than biological blood. Because to me, if you guys are loyal to us, I'm going to continue to be loyal to you. And it's going to be a reciprocal relationship for all of our lives. So thank you for your support of Health Masters. And I saw this verse yesterday. And I thought to myself, this is so true. How in the world can people not see this, that they get involved with their family members? Because yesterday I had a friend of mine. And, you know, we had like we're supposed to have they have eight brothers and sisters. And the mother basically got remarried after her husband had died. There's eight kids, eight siblings. And so they had a big thing for her, a big party for Mother's Day yesterday, and only one sibling showed up. Austin, one.
Wow.
Okay? And, you know, they're listeners to the show, and it was unbelievable how sad that was. And the sad part about it, they're all angry the mother remarried. Now, I'm not saying this is true in every case, and I'm not even saying this is true in this case, but what I've seen many, many times is this. Would somebody... who's a family member gets upset because another family member remarries, basically who's their mother or their father, in many cases, but not all cases, about the money. You think, well, God, Ted, I can't believe you're going here today. You know, and I told her yesterday when I talked to the mother, I said, you know, a lot of times it's about the money. It's about who gets what. And if you get married to somebody, nobody wants them to get a chunk of the estate. And everybody gets angry. And you think, well, it can't be that way. Now, those of you who've lost parents and uncles and aunts, and had to deal with funerals and had to deal with distribution of assets, you'll know I'm right. I've seen it over and over and over again. And it's sad to me because, you know, we all come into this world with nothing. And we all leave with nothing. But the reality is that, you know, everybody wants to fight over the stuff we've got when we're gone. And the sad part about that is that, you know, while we're still here, it's still our stuff. And it's, but they want to argue about it. But they completely ignored their mother. One girl showed up, a great girl, showed up to be with her mother yesterday, and none of the other siblings came. To me, that's really, really sad. And sadly about this, you know, a lot of times you see all of this stuff that you kind of go out and you go, this is crazy that this is actually happening all over with people who claim to be Christians. And then he has another one, too. There's a Pentecostal preacher here now. And this is a big deal. This made front page of Drudge. I'm not going to mention any names here. He was with the Assemblies of God. The 40-year mission to stop a Pentecostal preacher accused of raping children, Austin.
Oh, gosh.
No, I have seen this. Okay, first of all, let me explain something to you about this. A lot of preachers are only in it for the money. Now, you know, I'm a Christian. I am a follower of Jesus. You know that. But I have seen this over and over and over and over, especially the TV evangelist preachers, the name it, claim it, blab it, grab it ones. You know, Paula White got just blistered over Easter by telling people if they gave her a $1,000 gift, they'd be especially blessed over Easter. She got blistered for that. I mean, tore up on Drudge and everything else for saying that. And I'm not picking on Paula White this morning. I'm just saying that a lot of the TV preachers that talk about the prosperity gospel and prosperity message and you give me money and you'll be blessed, a lot of them have ulterior motives. I've seen it over and over and over. Now, mind you guys, I know a lot of these guys personally, and I did their TV shows, and I've worked with them personally. And a lot of them are just bad people, period. Now, some of them are okay. They are. But some of them, and that's why I say to you, I'm going to say it to you again, if you have a local church, support it. Because if you need a funeral, if you need to talk to a pastor, they'll come and they'll talk to you in most cases. If they don't, find another church. You call one of these TV evangelists up that you've been supporting for years and years and years with your tithes and offerings, there's a real high probability, like 99%, they ain't showing up and they ain't talking to you. Just thought I'd mention that. Support your local churches and local congregations. Get involved with your local community through your church. Really, really important. Now, if they start preaching stuff that you don't agree with, that's not biblically based, find your church that will. If their books aren't open and you don't know where the money goes, find another church. I'm sorry to say that, but I just feel that way very strongly also because I've seen so much abuse in this.
Spot on with that. We've both seen it firsthand.
Well, I've been behind this. I've been behind the scenes with these people.
So have I. You know? Right there with you on it.
And a lot of these guys are pedophiles. I'm just telling you that. They are.
And they're, I hate having to say that, but they are.
I'm telling you. And a lot of them are homosexual. I don't want to say it, but it's just the truth.
I know
some of these guys personally.
And a lot of what they do is they use Christ and they use Christianity as a basis for psychological manipulation to draw more cash out of you.
They do. He's right.
They do.
He's right.
I'm just going to put it out there. But I don't want to do a whole show on that today. That's a whole other topic. New study comes out. Omega-3s shape children's brains and behavior.
I believe that.
I mean, straight up
research. Your brain is primarily fat. Why would this not do this?
They're talking about fish, and children that eat more fish with higher omega-3s have better brain development. The thing about this is it doesn't go into detail, though, about adding additional omega-3 fats like the children's cod that we have, but it does go into detail here looking at the dietary intake from over 6,000 children and correlates to behavior and cognition and looks at basically children that were eating more fish had better brain development, better cognition, better memory, better behavioral patterns. And so that's just from fish, omega-3 fish. When you start throwing in the omega-3 fats that we have like the children's cod, the strawberry, takes it to a whole nother level of allowing these children to develop properly.
And also remember, when a woman is pregnant, this is so important because you guys, I'm sadly to our DEI people, I will say you don't get pregnant if you're a dude. Just thought I'd mention that to you again. I know you're in some type of fantasy world, you know, using
pregnant females.
No, pregnant males. I mean, whatever. You just, no, come on, guys. If the last trimester that the bulk of that baby forms as far as brain development, and if you don't have enough omega-3 in your diet, your baby will pull it out of your brain and out of your body, causing a lot of times what's called postpartum depression.
Yes.
Okay. So the last trimester, if you want to bump the IQ up some, and some studies have suggested this, you increase your cod liver oil or your omega-3 fats a lot because it's not going to hurt you. Let's start getting nosebleeds or something. Be very careful with that too because you don't want to have that happen. But increase your cod liver oil up the last trimester. Check with your doctor to make sure you don't get too much. I say that with a figure of speech. And make sure that after that baby is born, you keep those cod liver or that oil going up high because if you're breastfeeding, it'll give him more omega-3 in his brain. And it'll help you replenish the omega-3 that you lost in your brain. Very, very important to prevent postpartum depression because a lot of girls get pregnant. They have a baby. They get unbelievably depressed after that. Some of them actually end up committing suicide. It's horrible. The sad part about it is in many cases, they're treated with psychiatric drugs. In almost all cases, when they have this postpartum depression, it's because of an omega-3 fat deficiency. Very, very important. We understand that, especially if you're pregnant. When you get pregnant, it's not something that you do because you want to get pregnant tomorrow. It's something that you pre-plan.
That's exactly right.
Plan it for a full year in advance. Really load up on your supplements. Get your body prepped up so it's becoming a baby-making machine that's going to be super, super healthy. You say, well, I can't believe you're saying I'm a baby-making machine. All right, call it whatever you want to call it. I'm just telling you how I feel about it because I can't make a baby. If you're still ovulating and you have the ability to make a baby, you can. So if you're not a baby-making machine, because I know I ain't no baby-making machine, except for, you know, I guess, with you know, well, you know, sperm, that kind of stuff. But the reality is it's one of those things that you're the one who carries that fetus. And make sure you talk to your husband before you get married, when this is your fiance now, about vaccines. And we talked about this before. It's super, super important that you understand that you guys are both on the same page. Really important.
It's from the NIH. Omega-3 fatty acid intake during pregnancy is important for fetal brain development and child's subsequent neurodevelopment. And that omega-3 fatty acid deprivation during pregnancy is associated with impaired development and behavioral scores.
That's from the National Institutes of Health.
That's NIH.
Yeah.
They're saying lack of omega-3s during pregnancy basically impairs the development of the brain.
And also B vitamins and folate. Really, really
folate's
important.
Folate's huge.
This is terrible. I'm going to tell you a bad story. I shouldn't tell you, but I'm going to tell you. Years ago, we had a girl. We knew her from the office like 30, 40 years ago. Great girl, great personality, but just sanguine. Just didn't care about anything. It was just whatever. She ends up getting pregnant. And we told her, you need to be on prenatals. Her doctor told you, you need to be on prenatals. Everybody told you, you need to be on prenatals. You need to be on folate. I don't need that stuff. I eat clean. Well, she didn't eat clean. Well, anyhow, she ended up basically having a baby that was prematurely born at 5 or 6 months without a brain. It wasn't developed properly. The baby died. And you think, that's awful. I'm telling you guys, the nutrition of a mother when she's pregnant is absolutely critical. Now, she did later have more children, in which she actually took her supplements and they were born healthy. But the sad part about it is, guys, this is not fair to that child that you're developing. Same thing with fetal alcohol syndrome. Why in the world does somebody want to drink or smoke when they're pregnant? I don't understand that one yet, Austin. I don't.
Yeah, if you're going to run folate, make sure you're getting the methylated form of folate, the 5-MTHF.
Yep.
Methyl tetrahydrofolate is the actual name of it. Regular folic acid does not have near the bioavailability that it needs to have as far as in humans. The 5-MTHF, the body just uses it immediately.
And it's water soluble. Can't get too much of it.
Yes. So that's why we have the folate max on here. We usually recommend adding that in.
And we have a full prenatal supplement stack for women.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Full prenatal stack on there. Also, too, this is another interesting article here. Where is it? Pulling up here. The FDA is coming in now, and they're approving UK biotech company to produce gene-edited pigs.
What could possibly go wrong with this?
Because we haven't experimented enough with this yet. Now, gene-edited pigs, so the industrial pork producers, won't need to use any antibiotics because the animals will already be resistant to all diseases. The critics are doubting the editing will work for long, and also the technology's unintended effects. CRISPR gene editing technology is being used to engineer pigs to be resistant to pretty much all health problems, including viral infections.
How they can get rid of all the parasites these things carry?
This just sounds like a horrible idea.
What could possibly go wrong with this?
You got CRISPR-9 gene editing with pigs, with hogs, and now you're going to chop it up and feed it to human beings. And, yeah.
You know, one day I'm at Woody's Health Club, long out of business, long gone. And I remember I was talking to an FDA meat inspector there.
Yeah.
You know the guy. I'm not going to mention his name. And he's a relatively successful guy here in Central Florida. And he told me, he said, I've never seen a hog when I inspected a place that basically slaughtered hogs that wasn't filled with worms.
Oh, yeah.
He said, all of them. And if you really want to see something that's parasitic infested, go get a wild hog.
Oh, gosh.
No, think about it. You know they've got trichinosis in them.
They're loaded
with everything you possibly imagine. But let's go eat us a wild hog. I'm a redneck with a big water chaw. Let's go. I'm going to go hunt me a hog with a knife.
They're fun to hunt. I'm not going to lie.
Not with a knife.
Yeah, run a K-bar on them. I know guys run bows and K-bars.
I do, too. His fingers were gone. Took them off with a tusk. I know, guys. His name was Vern. He was a block layer. Loved to go hunt hogs with a K-bar. Sit on top of a log, wait for them to run by, and jump on top of them.
Well, it's best to use dogs. Dogs will bay them up, and you can get them in a position that you can shoot them. But, yeah, I mean,
No. Hella hogging.
Hella hogging?
You know, I would love to do hella hogging.
Well, they pay people now to go out there and shoot them in Texas. They pay people to shoot them. They're such a nuisance. They get into all the food, all the crops, and they just root everything up.
Well, hella hogging is pretty good. You have the dogs bay them, watch them with a hella hog. You get over top of them, and you got a minigun.
A lot of ammo, bro.
No, just,
4,000 rounds a minute.
No,
a lot of ammo.
No, it's just. I would love to do that. Or an M60. An M60 would be fine.
That's more plausible as far as financial aspects on it. M134 is pretty expensive.
Oh, now you animal lovers are going.
I can't believe he's talking.
I know. Oh, yeah, email. Every time I talk about it, I get emails.
No, wait. We have hogs here that run on the side of the interstate, cause accidents.
They do.
We have hogs everywhere. The gators are no longer doing their job. The pythons are going to have to step in.
Anacondas. Anacondas getting big.
Well, you know, it's funny. We don't
have found another one. That's another 20-footer down in the Everglades. They see that one was like 21 feet.
But the thing about it is, you know, the hogs have all run away from the Everglades. Now they said we're done with these snakes. We have had enough. We want nothing down here. We're tired of having our little babies eaten. We're gonna go north through Florida now. So we got a major. The other day, well, it wasn't the other day. It was a couple years ago. I'm driving down the highway. Here comes a hog family on the interstate. I mean, the mama, like six little piglets, and I'm like, this is great. I didn't have a gun with me that day, and I thought to myself, I wonder what the state trooper would say if I was out there, you know, popping hogs on the side of the highway.
FWC states that hogs are open season all year round.
But I'm talking about on the interstate, though.
If you discharge a firearm into a occupied vehicle, that's a
felony. Well, no, it wouldn't be. I wouldn't be shooting a vehicle. I would be shooting out of the vehicle.
In the direction you're shooting. That's all depending on the officer.
I would pull over and jump out and say, okay, let's see if we can find me a hog today.
I do not recommend
I did not recommend that. How did we get a transmitter and microphones? This is awful.
Hogs are open season. Oh, they are. In Florida, year-round. Common cooking oils now are linked to breast cancer growth. Omega-6 fatty acids increase aggressive breast cancer progression.
Gets posted.
This is, again, going into detail. It says primarily the high usage of soybean oil and canola oil. Talk about it all the time. And I've told people this before. You know, if you got something that has a small amount of this stuff in on an occasional basis, your body can process it. The problem with it is they're putting it in everything.
They're cutting olive oil in restaurants now with canola oil, soybean oil.
They're drenching the pan in it and cooking everything.
Well, no, then they bring it to the table.
It's floating.
And when they bring you extra olive oil, it's not olive oil, it's canola oil. There's a restaurant in Orlando. It's an Italian restaurant. They cut everything with half and half with canola oil.
Yep.
And because they want to save money, because instead of using 100 gallons of olive oil a month, they use 50 gallons of olive oil. They use this unbelievably cheap processed mess. It's a bad product. I ordered some fish the other day, and I ordered some agamami. I forgot how to pronounce it. This is beans they cook. And I said, I want it either cooked in butter or olive oil. I don't want any canola oil being used in this, and no soybean oil. And then normally they use soybean oil, so it's interesting. But you got to stay away from that. Use butter. Use olive oil, period. That's about enough.
Avocado oil, too.
Avocado oil is okay, too. Yeah. But I personally like butter, and, you know, it's better because I think butter is better than that. And you can use it. Now, I think one of those, what is it? Steak and Shake is using beef tallow now to cook their French fries.
Yeah, I heard that.
I saw it on the billboard.
No, it's legit. Okay.
Yeah.
That's way healthier for soybean oil.
You know, it's like, you eat a steak, you're getting beef tallow. So what difference does it make? But don't eat lard. Don't do lard. Dog pork fat. Lord. Yeah, nasty. Nasty. Okay, what's up next?
Oh, another article. Turmeric lowers blood pressure. How to get the most out of it? Turmeric is one of our key ingredients in the GHI cleanse, as you guys
know. Which I take daily.
Yeah, and I already had it
this morning.
Did you? Yeah, good. The curcumin with other spices and foods elicits full nutritional properties. This is one of the reasons why the GHI cleanse has a full spectrum of nutrients in it. And it talks in detail here. It says how curcumin helps reverse damage of stiffness of arterial walls.
I did not know that.
I didn't know either.
I take about 10 a day.
Yeah, it says curcumin can reverse damage such as thickening and scarring of blood vessels, especially in pulmonary arterial hypertension, which causes blood vessels to narrow and blood pressure in the lungs to increase. Curcumin also can protect the kidneys and the heart.
And one study said that throwing curcumin on cancer stem cells like throwing a wet blanket on them as far as a fire. It just puts them out. It
says in the animal studies, curcumin has been found to relax blood vessels by increasing nitric oxide.
I didn't know that either.
This is another study. It just came out as a brand new study. So, again, this is another reason why turmeric, curcumin, dude, key ingredient, man. You got to have it in your diet. You got to keep it yourself.
What I do every morning when I get up, I know this is going to sound odd to you guys, but I do it every morning. It doesn't sound odd. Everything else on the show already sounds odd, so why would this sound odd? Every time when I get up in the morning, I have my two purple sticks when I get out of bed. I get a big glass of water, put my purple sticks in them, stir them up, and I take 5 turmeric and I take 5 vitamin C antioxidants.
No, the vitamin C is important.
That's how I start my morning. I dump this turmeric and this vitamin C in my body every single day. And at nighttime, I do the same thing. I take 5 more turmeric, 5 more vitamin C. And you say, well, that's too much. Okay, I got it. Then do 1 of each, 2 of each, whatever you want to do. And that's how, instead of not taking the product, just reduce the dosing if it costs
too
much.
Right.
At least you're getting the nutrients. And be honest with you, here's the deal. If you take, 100 vitamin C a day, which you couldn't do because your bowels couldn't handle it, right? you're not going to get a really good effect out. It's going to be overloading your system. Yeah. But if you take 10, it's okay. But if you take 5, it's okay. If you take 4, it's okay. Just take it. Take something and reduce the amount of cost so you can afford it, and just gradually increase the amount of supplements that you're taking to ensure that you're getting all the nutrients the best your body needs. That's what I do.
It's well said. And with vitamin C, I have always found that it works best to microdose it through the day. You take like 600 to 1,200 milligrams, 2, 3, 4 times a day, however you can fit it in. That's like 2 capsules. But if you take it like that, you take 2 capsules, 2 to 3 to 4 times a day, it keeps your blood levels of vitamin C up in the body, and you don't really have any side effects from it.
Well, I do the 10 in the morning, 5 in the morning, and there's a reason I do it that way.
Yeah, but you're a machine, though, man. I don't. That's a lot of vitamin C.
No, it is. But I had to build up to it.
Yeah.
But otherwise, it can get your bowels loose.
Yeah.
But I've learned that I stay a whole lot healthier when I do that. And when I start slacking on that, I have a tendency to, catch stuff if I'm not careful. So I try my best to do that every single day. And, Linus Pauling took 10 grams a day.
I don't know how he
lived to be in his 90s. Everybody else who buffooned him when he's in his 50s and 60s, when he won 2 Nobel Prizes on this, they all died. So nobody said anything to him when he's 90 years old, still working 100-hour work weeks.
No, nobody said anything.
Like, whatever, it's Linus Pauling. He's like a machine, right? He just takes his vitamin C. Vitamin C is so important for the body. Your body cannot produce it, and it really keeps that immune system strong. It really, really does. What's your next
thing? No, you're spot on with this. And now as AI continues to leech in every area of our lives now like a cancer, this is kind of creepy now. As teachers are now saying they're going to combat AI with AI. Teachers are now using AI to grade students.
Unbelievable.
I mean, and I got a bone to pick with this for a second. At what point in the next couple years is education even going to be relevant? I know for a fact, I'm not going to pick on anybody or say any names, but I know for a fact kids in college now, they use AI for pretty much everything.
They write their papers with AI.
They write their papers with it. They take their exams with it. All their online classes. There's an app, and I saw this. I've been in college in a long time. I don't even know how this came about. There's an app. You can take a photo on your phone of the question of the exam, click it, and it'll pull the answer up for you that fast with AI.
I thought they monitored these online classes.
They don't even care anymore, dude. They let these kids do whatever they want. They literally let them do pretty much whatever they want now. And for the most part.
Well, yeah, and then a lot of these kids can't read anyhow.
That's exactly right. They're now saying that basically...
Okay, cursive writing, forget that.
86% of university students are using AI tools like ChatGPT to basically write their papers and do assignments now. 86% is what they're saying here. It says the integration of AI and grading is now becoming a norm. Some teachers, frustrated by students submitting AI-generated work, they've embraced tools like Writable, which uses ChatGPT to provide feedback on essays. Now, they are doing that now to bust some kids. I have heard that. They're using some of these apps to basically scan the papers.
To see if they're
done. Flag them if they're AI written. Now, that's pretty cool. But now they're starting to go in and say they're just going to start using AI to pretty much grade everything now. They said, you're welcome to use AI. Just let me know if you do. The AI will also grade you. You don't write it. I don't read it, said one of the professors. So it's interesting. It says progressive educators are leveraging AI to personalize learning, such as tailoring math problems to individual students or requiring students to engage with AI feedback alongside human evaluations.
You know, it's funny.
It's strange.
I've got a friend of mine who works in basically computers, and she basically writes program.
Yeah.
She's a computer engineer, a master's degree. And she said that they give them these mundane work assignments all the time.
Yeah.
Okay. And so they're just basically filling in holes in a chart. That's all it is. So she wrote a program using AI.
To do it.
And then she shared that program with her coworkers. And they said, why are we spending, 8 hours a day filling in holes in a chart when we can just write a program that's going to fill in? She's right.
No,
there's benefits to it. But the reality is, I mean, why in the world do we want to have a kid go through college? Of course, I guess if they learn how to manage the computer and use AI, then there's some kind of positive thing about that, because they can take a course in how to do that. And I mean, as long as they get the work done, but it needs to be their own work. They need to learn how to write.
Yeah, I know. I mean, but then there's also this factor in where it's like, are you going to need to write soon? You just type in a thought, type in a process, type in a theory, and say, write me 10 pages.
Well, you think about the neuroimplants.
Yeah.
Right, with Elon Musk again, right? And pretty soon, though, we won't even have to do any of that stuff. The AI will think for us automatically and basically put things into our optic cortex to allow us to see the answers, to see what we want to see, and we can scan stuff. Now, think about that for a second. This is what they did in Genesis chapter 6. where every thought of every man was evil all the time, linked into AI using pyramids, in my opinion, to control the hearts and the thoughts and the minds. That's why everything was so bad then. And here's what I find it fascinating with this. You know, AI doesn't really have the ability for forethought. That's why Lucifer makes the same mistakes over and over and over again. His fluid reasoning skills are pretty limited. They really are. Yeah. Now, God, because he's omnipresent, already knows what Lucifer's going to do. I mean, think about it for a second. You got Noah chilling out, right? He decides to build an ark. God tells him to build the ark. He builds the ark for 100 years on dry land.
It's true.
Now, you know,
100 years.
Why couldn't AI see this is a problem? You know, God's about to do something.
Well, the first couple of years is kind of a joke. Like, this guy's, what's he building? He's building a house, building a boat. After about 80 or 90 years, you got to start looking at it going.
Well, Noah's hundreds of years old.
Yeah, but I'm saying the boat is 100 years old now, 80, 90 years old. He's building it as far as the boat. It took 100 years to build it. Sitting here going, he's on to something here. He's not just doing this.
This is not a game for him.
No, for a century because he just feels like building this.
But AI just ignores it. You know, Lucifer just ignores it because he could have sent in something to destroy the boat. He could have burned the boat. But he didn't do it. But he didn't have the insight to do that.
He's probably curious, too.
Well, yeah. And remember what the Bible says. It says, had the God of this age, which is Lucifer, known what he was doing, I'm paraphrasing, he would never have crucified the Son of Glory. Yeah, he thought he would kill Jesus. That'd be the end of it because Jesus was in a human form. He didn't understand it. Jesus decided to resurrect himself from the dead after 3 days because he's God. He built the universe. He built the heavens and the earth, and he decided to come back to life. And all of a sudden, now it's like, now he goes, what have I done now? Well, you messed up because you allowed him to shed his blood in it as an omnipresent being for all of eternity to allow us to be restored back to the Father. And I've done extensive shows on that and how that happens and how it works from the energy fields created by blood. It's all about energy, Austin. Everything in here is we're in a giant hologram, by the way. If you got it, you don't really know it. That's what they taught us
and
now.
Gold has something to do with it.
Oh, we got gold here?
Well, no. Gold rally slowed down this week as the shares, you know, pretty much all the shares have gone up. Stock market has gone up with the tariffs coming down. However, since the COMEX reported the delivery of 64,000 gold contracts equivalent to 6.45 million ounces or 21 billion in gold, the second highest delivery volume on record.
I just had a thought.
It's a lot of gold.
Think about this for a second.
Okay.
Tariffs have been taken out again. Is it because they couldn't fulfill these gold contracts and they had to kick gold with the teeth?
Oh, I didn't think about that.
There's a reason they did this. And now
this is the second highest delivery volume on record of physical gold.
Well, these entities really like their gold.
Yeah, remember, you got to understand, in a real baseline, you guys understand this, almost all the gold contracts on the stock market, they're all traded via paper. They don't actually trade gold to one another. It's all paper.
This, however, 64,000 ounces. Yeah,
this is a physical delivery. This is a huge contract.
6.45 million. That's a lot of gold, man.
21 billion in gold.
Well, all of a sudden they're going, okay, gold is going through the roof. Dollar's going down. We've got to stop this. We've got to make sure people don't take delivery in gold. Let's go ahead and drop tariffs for 60 or 90 days.
This is on Zero Hedge, how gold gets to 10,000. And that's what they're talking about in this. They said there only needs to be a couple contracts like this fulfilled and physical for gold to hit 5,000 an ounce. And they said from there, it's just bottle rocket.
Well, because it's a fixed commodity. They can't make it. Oh, by the way, this is an interesting story. Anyone who fails to understand that Democrats are criminally insane need to confront this Democrat bill before the Colorado legislature. Okay? And it says, in Colorado, this bill has been sponsored that could criminalize parents and put them at risk of losing custody of their children for the crime of calling their kids by their birth name or gender at birth.
I saw this. It's insane.
Now, I mean, so little Johnny, you know, I'm glad you're here, and I'm glad you're a little boy. Ah, going to prison. Okay, Colorado. Okay, let me ask you a question here. You guys used to be a great state. You guys are so liberal now, it's unbelievable. What the heck's wrong with you? Oh, that's right. I've already talked to Coloradians who've left. It's the Californians who've all moved to California, these whack bags from California. One reason the birth rate among Western white ethnicities is falling is that they're no longer our children. In Colorado, law is pending that parents who refer to their kids by birth, name, and gender would be dispossessed of their children by the government. So why go to the expense of raising the children to start with for the state? That's why a lot of kids aren't being born anymore, by the way. It is extraordinary to me there's so tens of millions of people who vote for a satanic political party. He's right about that. A country with such a large number of totally stupid people cannot survive. I'll give Paul Craig Roberts credit. He likes to call us out. He goes, alas, it is difficult to say that the Republicans are better. It is extraordinary that there are young men who will join a military to defend the state that is half satanic. The problems and threats that are destroying America are entirely internal. They are not abroad in Russia, China, and Iran, where conservatives mistakenly locate our enemies. The United States has essentially been overthrown from inside. This happened, by the way, it started with the Kennedy assassination. Well, it actually started with the Federal Reserve Act. Actually started with Lincoln. It goes back over 100 years. Trump represents the counter-revolution, and it's not going so well. If and when Trump fails, if you believe Trump's doing this, the United States will become the worst tyranny yet to appear upon Earth. Wow. Now, Naomi Wolf did a Substack on this, about this bill. And Naomi Wolf, you know, she's a Jew, but I think the girl's seen the light. I mean, she used to be super liberal, and she ain't liberal anymore. She started seeing the problems associated with the Liberal Party of the Democrats and start speaking out against it, and I applaud her for that. I think it's wonderful when people wake up and start telling the truth, Austin. What do you think?
You're spot on. And it does happen. I mean, I've seen many people in the mainstream media and other factors, movie stars, celebrities, all of a sudden they start...
Mel Gibson.
Yeah.
He got jammed.
Yeah.
Jim Caviezel. He got jammed.
All right. Maybe not everything we're watching is the truth. Maybe we're starting to see more and more people wake up to the lies that are happening right now. And I think that's exactly what's occurring.
Well, when you start to see people that are basically, you know, pro-transgender come back and say, hey, this isn't okay. Even Joan Rivers finally said, hey, everybody knows that Michelle Obama is a guy. She's a dude. She's a tranny. And it's okay. It's all right. I just officiated a gay wedding. It's all right. We already have our first gay president. I'm loosely quoting her. You can watch it on YouTube if you don't believe it. Then people come back after she suddenly dies a few months later. They go, oh, she was just kidding. One thing about Joan Rivers is that she had a big mouth on her, Austin. And I never heard that woman lie. Now, she'd tell a joke every once in a while, but this wasn't a joke she was giving, because this is a very serious topic to her. And you can watch the video of her actually telling people that that Obama was gay and that Michelle was a tranny, which is pretty interesting. Oh, by the way, Trump is signing an executive order reducing the cost of prescription drugs.
I saw that.
Now, this is a big deal. He said he'd be signing an executive order on Monday reducing the cost of prescriptions and pharmaceutical drugs by 30 to 80%. In a post on Truth Social, Trump pointed out that for many years, the world has wondered why prescription of pharmaceutical drugs are so much more expensive in the United States than they are in any other nation, adding that sometimes they are 5 to 10 times more expensive.
I've seen that.
No, and he's right. I remember I had a friend of mine. They went through they had to go to a fertility specialist, and they had to go get, I guess it was Clomid and some other things down. I forget, it was Pergonol. And it was like one dose was like $1,000. In Mexico, it was like $50.
Oh, yeah. And it's on the shelf, too.
It's on the shelf. You don't need a prescription for it.
So we ran into the same issue with ivermectin.
Oh, yeah.
I had a few friends that were getting ivermectin out of Canada, and it was like pennies. Oh, yeah. And then all of a sudden down here, the pharmacist jacked up the price of, do you remember?
I mean, $800.
$700, $800 for a script of ivermectin. And then all of a sudden they're hitting up like, dude, we're waiting to get it in from Canada. We paid like $80. Like 500 pills or some, it was some crazy amount.
People get out of Indian pharmacies all the time.
Yeah, it was India.
Yeah.
But it was super cheap. And so that's the problem you have, is that there's certain really manipulated price gouging with a lot of these pharmaceuticals.
Well, same thing. And what happens is like with insulin. Insulin prices have gone through the roof. Well, insulin has an inelastic demand curve. Now, what does that mean?
Insulin's so cheap.
It's so cheap to make. Inelastic demand curve, what does that mean? That means if you don't have it and you have diabetes, and you have to have it, you're going to die. So it doesn't matter if it's $1 a vial, $100.
Stays here.
Yeah, it doesn't matter if it's $10. It doesn't matter if it's $100.
The demand's always there.
It's about $200. You either pay the $200 or you die. And you know, I've learned something about people. In most cases, if they're going to die, they'll find a way to get the money.
They will.
You know, I've got a friend of mine right now. They've been locked up in jail for something they didn't do. And the family, we don't have the money to get them out. We don't have the money to get them out. And finally, the person stays in jail for a month. And finally, they're about to put the person in jail prison for 35 years. Suddenly, they have the money. Suddenly, now it's bad enough they're going to have the money. And you know, it's crazy how that works, because in some cases, people will always find the money when they want something bad enough. They'll always find a way to make it happen. I've seen it. So when somebody has an inelastic demand curve for insulin or some type of drug they have to have, they will sell assets. They will do anything they have to in order to do it in most cases. Now, some people simply can't afford it. They can't do that. They don't have the wherewithal or the family or the friends to do that with. I got that, too. But the reality is that, you know, in most cases, for something like insulin, the prices need to be affordable for everybody, and I'm so glad Trump's doing this. And then you have that little card. I'm not going to mention any names because I don't promote this. And so if you have the card, the cost of your prescription is going to be $8. If you don't have the card, the cost will be $100.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? And the crazy part about it is you can apply for the card online and just give it to the pharmacist, and they charge you $8. Why can't they just charge you $8 to start with? Why do you have to go through that whole rigmarole? The card's free. Why do you have to do that? You think, well, people do that. Well, yeah, but a lot of people don't know about that. And so they basically end up having to pay full price for the prescription drugs if their insurance won't cover it.
This will be a big one, too, if Trump pushed this down. This is what he said on basically X yesterday. He said drug prices to be cut by 59%, plus gasoline, energy, groceries, and all their costs down. No inflation. I've said this before, and everybody understands this in the markets and in the vehicle market, as far as transportation market. If diesel fuel goes down, so does everything else. Everything touches diesel fuel. And so if they can get diesel fuel back down to around $1 a gallon, which is where it needs to be, it'll change the entire market as far as with food cost, with everything cost.
Oh, here we look at this. This is funny. Bank Vontobel analyst Stefan Schneider wrote in a note, this has the potential to be very negative for the industry. He said that the order will probably target Medicare, Medicaid, and hospitals. Well, duh. $50 for an aspirin? That's ridiculous, Austin. Goldman analyst James Quigley and others provide clients with more color on Trump's incoming order this morning and what it means for the European pharma stocks. Last night on social media platform Truth Social, President Trump confirmed that the administration intends to pursue the most favored nation model for drug pricing, which calls for reducing U.S. drug prices to be more in line with international prices. I think this is excellent. You know, I'm not a big drug person anyhow.
But
for people who need drugs for certain ailments,
things,
there's no reason to gouge them like this.
Well, no, they're saying, well, it's going to target Medicaid and hospitals. Well, yeah, duh. I mean, I remember when I broke my wrist, the total bill on that thing before I negotiated them down was like $7,000 to set my wrist and get an x-ray and then give me like an aspirin, $7,000. So, I mean, a lot of this stuff, it needs to be brought down. It's absolutely outlandish.
Well, and what I like about it, this is Advent Health.
Yes. Now, they're
I like Advent Health.
They're cool.
Well, because what they will do, if you don't have health insurance or if the bill's going to be too high, if you pay them in cash, they give you up to like 80, 90% discount right on the spot.
I dropped my health insurance about a decade ago for the sole purpose of there was no return on it. It was like $1,400, $1,500 a month is what the premium jacked up to. And there was like a $6,000 deductible. And I did the math on it, and I was like, by the time I actually ever even need it in 1 year, I'm going to have almost $20,000 invested in it with the premium.
With a $10,000 deductible.
Yeah.
So you got $20,000 invested with a $10,000 deductible. So before you get anything paid out, it's going to be $30,000.
And here's the part that really got my attention is when I found out the insurance company doesn't pay the $30,000.
No, they don't pay that.
No, they pay like four.
Well, they negotiate. So what they do, at Advent Health, they actually give you that 80% off in some cases. I'm not sure. I'm not telling you that all Advent hospitals will do that. But, you know, the thing about it is that, I mean, I've seen. I mean, why in the world can't you just get that price? I remember when you broke your ankle on that dirt bike. Remember
oh,
that?
Man.
I had insurance. For not giving coverage because it was horrible. And it had like a $10,000 deductible on it. And I was paying like $2,500 a month. It was ludicrous, right? And they tell me, well, we're not going to pay any of this because it's got a $10,000 deductible because we've negotiated the price down from $35,000 down to $6,000. So that's still within your deductible. I'm like, well, wait a minute. I said, so the bill's $6,000? Yeah. What happened to $35,000? Well, we don't pay that.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, so how much are you going to pay? We're going to pay nothing.
Nothing.
It's still within your deductible.
It's going to come out of your deductible.
And I'm like, okay, so what happened if I didn't have insurance for the negotiation here? Oh, you'd be paying the $35,000.
Right.
Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
I couldn't believe it.
I said, this is
such a scam. This is awful. And if you don't, they go, in many cases now, they changed a lot of that. You should go after your credit report with that.
They can't do that anymore.
I don't think
Florida,
they can do that anymore. Not in Florida.
Yeah, this is an interesting article, too. So it's talking about these tariffs. It says empty ports and half-full container ships, a ticking clock for consumers and investors. This is going to be a weird transition period of the next couple months because we've had this point now where these tariffs have come in. A lot of the container ships have been either shipping empty or not shipping at all. Now we're dropping down to this 90-day cool-off period, but the domino already dropped with a lot of this transportation, a lot of these shipping containers.
They're not in transit.
They're stopped. Everything's got a delay, so we're about to see a huge delay on shortages, but I guess with this 90-day cooling-off period they have now, we're going to be able to get everything back and run, but we're going to have probably about a month or two, so it's going to be kind of short.
You know, now Trump wrote a book called The Art of the Deal way back when. Yep. Now, here's the thing. Let's step back and look at this. Did Trump do this whole thing with the idea that within 30 to 60 days he's going to stop it all?
That was the theory.
To come in with a doggone negotiation strategy here to force these guys to give us better pricing and to basically pay more tariffs and to allow our exports to go to them without these massive import duties. So I don't know.
That was the theory at the beginning. We talked about it.
Is he that smart, or did he just say, hey, wait a minute, this has unintended side effects and problems here now with containers, with shortages, with inflation, and now with gold going through the roof? Why am I doing this, and what should I do? And so I ask myself the question, and I ask you guys a question, and this is not a rhetorical question. You may send me emails on this if you'd like. Why is Trump doing this? Is he that smart, or is he just following the orders of the Kabbalist Luciferian synagogue of Satan who runs the planet anyhow, because they're the guys who took down Building 7, and they're the people behind the curtain, so to speak?
Well, there's one theory about it that I've talked to a few different people, is the only way to get these tariffs more balanced was there had to be basically a blitzkrieg, overwhelming superior firepower on it, so to speak. They had to come in and say, we're doing these number 125, 100. It got everybody's attention.
It crushed the stock market.
Oh, yeah. It got everybody's attention. It got Europe's attention. It got China's attention. Everybody's like, whoa, 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 whoa. Mm-hmm. What are you doing, bro? We can't do this.
Notice he didn't. He didn't lift them within the first couple of weeks. He let these guys
Let
them sit on it.
Yeah, to the point that Audi had vehicles sit at the port they wouldn't release.
Well, yeah, because they didn't want to pay the tariffs on them.
Yeah. He did a 90-day, basically, extension with Europe. Now he's doing this 90-day cooling off with China. And they said that basically a total reset with the U.S.-China relations now is going back.
And here's one other thing, too. And this is an interesting thought. There's been a reduction in total car sales now because of the interest rates, because of the cost of the vehicles have gone up so high, and because of the recession that we're currently in, in my opinion. So there were a lot of cars that hadn't been sold that were on dealer lots and inventories.
And they moved now.
And now they've been moved.
A lot of them moved. Because April's on the highest vehicle sale month.
Well, because suddenly, you better buy your vehicle before the tariffs kick in. And so they set these. So everybody runs out and buys a car, stimulates the economy, and now the cars that are in the ports that have been waiting for the tariffs to be dropped, suddenly now they're released back into dealer inventory, and so now they don't have an inventory dealer glut, and now they go back to the factories that are manufacturing them and say, spool this production back down. We've got rid of our glut. We've got rid of the cars in the pipeline, so now we don't have to make as many, so our costs will go back down again for inventory control.
Valid.
Because remember, BlackRock, State Street, and they run this country.
Yeah, they
run the world.
They use the Aladdin system. If you guys haven't looked that up, I talked about it briefly. The Aladdin AI that BlackRock uses. They have an entire – it's one of the most advanced AI software platforms in the entire world that runs their portfolio. I mean, it manages, $18 trillion or $14 trillion, whatever the number is now.
To millions of transactions per second.
This is hyper AI. I mean, this is top-tier AI, and that's what runs their entire investment platform now. They don't even do it anymore. It's all AI.
Yeah.
So – they probably look at the algorithm. They put in the projections. AI comes out. This is what you need to do. This is how you need to do it. This is which way to do it. Boom, boom, boom.
And remember, we talked about this in Angel Wars. The love of money is the root of all evil. Yeah. And we talked about Lucifer and how he was buying and selling. And I'm sure he was using AI to do all of this stuff. And it got so advanced with him running this thing, because he was actually a super being. He was one of the top people in heaven, that it ended up being, something that he thought he could use, I guess, I don't know, this is speculation, that, he could control God and control the universe and take over a position of God and stage a hostile coup d'etat against God Almighty. This happened in the pre-Adamic race. And suddenly he realized that, when he did try to do this, he was being judged along with the other angels, that doesn't work with an omnipresent being, because God already knew his plans in advance. But it's interesting to me how they want to tie us into a D-wave computer or something even more advanced with AI, which operates out of another dimension. Yeah, that's what we need to realize what's going on. By the way, talking about another dimension of places not to go, Newark Liberty Airport suffers the third system outage in less than 2 weeks, impacting hundreds, if not thousands, of flights globally. Yet another equipment shortage and outage at Newark Liberty International has caused widespread delays and ground stop over the weekend. The FAA, who doesn't want to fix this mess, I guess, said the third outage in less than 2 weeks happened Sunday morning after a backup air traffic control system momentarily failed. Now, you think about that for a second. Hopefully it was the primary backup and not the main thing that here. The backup control system fails. Well, what happens if the main system fails? Now we got all these planes in the air, and they can't even tell them to land. And that's exactly what happened. As of late Sunday night, there were more than 250 delays, at least 80 cancellations. Newark flights to be temporarily cut, Transportation Secretary Duffy says. Now that means if you're flying out of Newark, you're going to pay a whole lot more money, because the AI algorithm that books the flights is going to jack your price up. Don't tell me it's not right.
It does.
You call American Airlines up, and I've said this to the reps multiple times, and you're flying on points. and you call them up and you say, I need to fly on a ticket here, basically on this trip, this thing on points, and they'll give you a price. Well, you call back the next hour, it went up.
Yep.
Because the AI knows that you're looking for a ticket. And that you say, well, they'd individually tax you like that? Absolutely, yes. And you call up another hour later, they're going, oh, you know, Ted's still thinking about this. We're going to jack tickets up again. And again, pretty soon, you used to fly first class anywhere in the United States or business class for 40,000 points round trip. Now it's up to $90,000 to $100,000 offset 100,000 points one way.
Oh yeah.
You could fly 10,000 points pretty much one way on a it's first class and it's not second class.
Business
class.
Like,
no, it's not. It's in the back of the plane. What do they call that? Coach.
Gen Pop?
They call it coach.
Oh,
you fly coach for like 10,000 points.
Yeah.
Good luck with that now trying to find that. AI goes, nah, Ted's buying a coach ticket. Yeah. He's sneaky. He don't want to pay that for the first class ticket. He's trying to get an upgrade. Ah, we'll see what we do now. And they do that too.
And if you're booking them online, always clear cookies when you're on the website. Always clear your cookies, your history, everything when you go on the websites to start booking your flights, because they'll track your cookies on what you've looked at. And if there's multiple hits for the same destinations and the same flights.
I didn't know that.
They'll run your price up too. They're doing that now as well. Someone told me that the other day that works in the airline industry. So clear all your cookies, clear all your search history,
right.
Everything.
So anyhow, stay out of Newark Airport. Just do yourself a favor.
This is wild. Attorney General Ken Paxton out of Texas secures historic $1.3 billion settlement with Google related to Texans' data privacy. This is the highest recovery nationwide against Google for an attorney general's enforcement of state privacy laws. And good riddance. I am so over the tracking, the data logging, the directed marketing. It's old. I'm tired of it. Google's out of control. They basically, he sued Google for unlawfully tracking, collecting users' private data regarding their geolocation, incognito searches, and biometric data. After years of litigation, Attorney General Paxton agreed to settle Texas's data privacy claims against Google for an amount that far surpasses any other state. Wow, $1.3 billion. He said, in Texas, big tech is not above the law. For years, Google secretly tracked people's movement, private searches, even their voice print and facial geometry through products.
We've been telling everybody this for years. Here we have it.
I tell you, keep tape over the front camera on your selfie camera. Everybody laughs at me. Y'all aren't laughing anymore. This is crazy now.
Here's my look at my iPad right here. You see it, Rich? Tape on the camera. Man, I make sure it's duct tape so I can see it too.
Yeah.
Everybody needs a little duct tape.
Well, the thing about it is it sounds so, you know, Minority Report, but it's legit. They have access to those cameras. So what they do is they monitor your facial expression, your pupil dilation, what you're looking at, everything you're looking at, and they build an entire data log on you. It's just, it is what it is, man. I mean, so kudos to Ken Paxton. Now, I'm wondering, the biggest thing about this I'm trying to see here is, where's this $1.3 billion going to go?
There you go.
I do ask that question because it's not saying where the money's going to go. It's a lot of money. And I'm curious if it's going to go to the residents of Texas.
Oh, I doubt that.
Just going to go to the great state of Texas.
Well, it'll go back into their budget requirements again.
Jeez.
You know,
slush fund.
You know, it's so funny. You know, ManCal sent me a picture yesterday. And I can't really give it to you, but I'll show this middle thing. This is a new statue unveiled in New York. Okay,
that's a statue.
Yeah, okay, that's a statue, and there's this just giant, you know,
what statue? It's
a giant super fat African American chick. Okay.
Why is she so overweight?
Well, because it's DEI, bud. We got to have it here. We got to give homage to the DEI because, you know, New York is super unbelievably, you know, toxic.
Yeah, but like, I mean, usually statutes are kind of like to, you know what I mean?
Well, no, here's 1895.
There you go. Yeah. So he's got abs, he's ripped. I mean, if you're doing a statue, I mean, I'm going to be shredded. I'm going to go, I'm not going
to
lie.
Now, here's what we've gone through, 1895 to a dude that's unbelievably ripped up with a set of abs who's just killed a giant lion, right? And,
yeah,
and so now, or it has a big dog behind him. I'm pretty sure that statue is in Vienna, Austria, and I've seen it outside of the Lippershahn Stallion place.
That's a cool statue.
That's a cool statue. But some giant obese chick that looks like she's about to whip you.
She's whipping me.
Well, she looks like she's a Butch Dyke to me. She's about to get in a fight. And, you know, and the sad part about it is I don't care if she's black or white. You know, why are we putting statues up to some angry person?
Why are we putting statues up basically going in and promoting obesity? That's my biggest thing. Why? Okay, that is the poster child for comorbidities during COVID. That's the poster child for diabetes. Why are we promoting that in a statute? I don't know. I'm going to get off. I don't want to get off of this right now.
Well, no. You know, well, no. Let's talk about it for a second.
No, it is.
No. Well, no. We you know. And here's the thing. I've got a friend of mine, Alex. I'm going to read you this, what he wrote last night. This guy's brilliant. He's super smart. He goes, you know, he says, this is pastor, and he's doing a service. He's doing a sermon on what is a real woman. Okay? Now, ladies that, you know, don't want to fit in this category, I understand that, but it just is what it is. I'm going to post his sermon. I'm going to do that too. Sermon starts off talking about what kind of woman our society honored in the 80s and where it went all wrong. She would work at a job, build her own career, demand and get equal pay with men. She would refuse to submit to her husband, demanding equality with him in everything. She would have an affair or two or three or four or five or continual affairs or an open relationship, a divorce or two or three, abortions or two or three or four. She would definitely exercise her independence. She would make sure that she was eminently fulfilling herself. She would rely on her own resources. She would not want her husband or children to threaten her personal goals, and she would never, ever allow anybody to own their own bank account. She would hire a maid or cleaning service. She would eat out at least 50% of the time with her family and or without. She would make cold cereal and coffee the standard breakfast fare for the family, including the children, giving them unbelievably toxic food and quick frozen meals, usually dinner fare. And she would certainly expect her husband to do half of the housework. I'm writing you what this preacher was saying. She would be tanned, coiffured, you know, nails and all polished up, aerobicized, bulging with muscle. She'd be shopping to keep up with the fashion trends and make sure she could compete in the attention-getting contest. And she would tell you, I'm a good shopper. I always get great deals, as she spends huge amounts of money buying anything she ever wants to get. She would put her children in a daycare center, making sure that each one also had a TV in her room so that they were home. They wouldn't be interrupt her routine. She would be opinionated. She would be demanded to hurt and eager to fill all her personal ambitions. She would be coldly, completely self-centered. She would be fully narcissistic in many cases. The world would applaud her, and she wouldn't be able to stay married or be happy, and her kids would probably be into drugs. But she would be the woman of the 80s, and she is a million miles from the woman of God describing of Proverbs 31. Now, of course, I could do the same thing with men, but we're out of time. Men are a lot way the same way. They've turned into wimps. They've turned into lazy people. They want to play video games all the time. About half of them become gay. Smoking on their vapes all day. So that's culture in general. Both male and female have left the Word of God and no longer do what the Bible says in any area of their life, including scripturally. Just thought I'd mention that, but Alex sent me that as a summary of what this preacher's sermon was. And I'm going to post this preacher's sermon on the website so you can listen to it so you can get mad at him and not me. What do you think, Austin?
Yeah, it's valid. I'm running out of time. I'll cover this article tomorrow. Another says the untold story of benzodiazepine dependence.
There you go.
Another article coming out about how unbelievably addictive Xanax is and other forms of benzodiazepines. Says, what is the number here? Golly. It says 92 million prescriptions for benzodiazepines were dispensed in the United States in 2019. 92 million prescriptions. That's not pills. That's prescription.
And you think about it for a second. This product is so brain dependent. When your brain gets so addicted to it, you could die coming off of it.
It says about half the patients took these medications for 2 months or more. Long-term use typically refers to taking benzodiazepines regularly for more than a few weeks. I'll go into detail in this article tomorrow. And again, I'm not picking anybody's. I know a lot of people have gotten on this stuff. Doctors have prescribed it to you, and sometimes it works. But it's very addictive, so be careful of this stuff. And we'll go into more detail tomorrow on this and certain things you can do to try to alleviate.
And if you're taking it, do not mix it with alcohol. You will zombie out.
No, gosh,
you will zombie out.
Absolutely not. If you guys need anything, you know where to get a hold of us. Team Health Masters, product of the week, the Berberine Ultimate. You guys that we talked about last week.
You made it product of the week.
It's been product of the week.
This is a great product.
Yeah, over 12% off right now, so be sure to check that out, along with some of the other kits and specials we have. This will be on sale for 2 more days, so check that out as well. And also,
I've been taking it.
Yeah, so have I. You start dropping.
I read the article.
Yeah, and also the Ultimate Morning Energy Kit, one of my favorites, the Fit Food and Purple Sticks. Be sure to check that out on sale as well. You guys need anything, give us a call, 1-800-726-1834, and be sure to sign up for the weekly newsletter on thebrowershow.com. I appreciate you, my friends. Have a safe, fantastic evening. We'll talk to you on the show tomorrow as always.
Hey, I love you. I got an opportunity to pray for you yesterday at the altar. It means the world to me. If you ever watched the Lutheran church service that I actually, you know, am at pretty much every Sunday, and you see me up at the altar praying when everybody else has kind of left, that's because I pray for you guys. I love you, and I appreciate you. Thank you for your support. Thank you for being here for us. And thank you for being our family. I love you guys.